Hello, everybody. I'm going to welcome you all back to the Raw Spiel. This is where we keep it real with the hard truth. And I just want to thank you all again for tuning in to the show on Friday night. I really do appreciate you. And I want to bring on, we have Pastor Bolden from Bolivar, Tennessee, the pastor of God's Truth and Deliverance Ministry, here to give me a hand to host the show again. I appreciate you for coming on here.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Now today we're going to talk about, the division that happens in the church. Now in the bigger picture, I know they have like different denominations, that believe this and that believe this and they believe that or whatever, but kind of want to focus on the local church here. Sometimes they have so many different departments. Sometimes they have the women's department, missionary, evangelist, men's department, deacon, deacon board, the youth department, Sunday school. Sometimes they have the usher board. And sometimes they have all these different departments. Sometimes the church is not that big. Can you turn this light on a little bit? Come on. And, like I said, there's, yeah, that's better. Yeah, then like I say, all these different departments, some even for a small church, sometimes it may not be necessary. Sometimes it may be for some, sometimes not. And and some of the big issue too is when there's money involved. They might be, the pastor might have something. Might have a goal to maybe build a church or expand or whatever. You can have all these different departments and you say, hey, you need to raise X amount of money each month when you report or whatever. There might be some that are, let's just say the pastor might say, yeah, I need y'all to, each department to bring in $1,000 a month. Mm. Okay, so some might exceed it. Somebody might do $2,500. And some might just only be able to do like $450. And the problem with that, it's just sometimes do some people mind, they put up all this money and I guess they feel, they have a more of a say of what goes on, even more than what the pastor say. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they got the nerve to override the pastor because they done bought in so much money. And you get these, let's just say the mission department or whatever, they don't raise $2,500. Maybe the deacon board only bought in $450. So no, now they feel they got the power. The power's is in their hand now. Forget what the pastor say. Well, this time he gonna do it. Mm-hmm. And that is unfortunate. Now, don't y'all play crazy like that, don't go on, and y'all know it. I've seen it firsthand. So that is a problem when money gets involved. You pretty much more money equals more power, and then they have more. They feel they have more of a say. What's going on? Even more of a say than what the pastor has to say. The pastor says something, they kicking back on, and that's that alone right there. You bringing a great division in the church. I'm talking about the local church there.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a big issue in the church today with people with money and different things that's going on, and how a lot of times people, just like you said, people think money equals power in the church. And unfortunately, because they're fleshly, they go on thinking that they have more authority and more power than what they have. I think that it's important that when pastors are over a church, that they should make that clear that they are not, they themselves are not servants to money. And so I think they should set a tone and a pace in the church so that people don't think that they can purchase stock in God's church. And that's the way I see it. Like a lot of people think the more money they bring to a church, the more stock and the more say they have in a church. And that's unfortunate, you know, and I think it's up to the pastors to make sure that they set that straight, if they can set it straight. Because, you know, then we have to get into how a lot of pastors are being ran by deacon boards and things like that, you know, those kind of, just like what you're talking about, all of these different auxiliaries in the church. And so, you know, then we'd have to get into that, you know, how pastors are being ran by deacon boards and being ran by the trustee board. And I've even heard of how some pastors have to turn in their sermons the Saturday or the weekend before they preach it, for it to be approved by the trustee board. And so, you know, when you have things like that coming in, going on in the church, then definitely how can a pastor put his foot down with concerning money and how things are going to be spent and how the Lord is leading him and directing him? You know, people think that their money gives them a say. And, you know, so it's definitely can create a lot of turmoil. And then it makes other people feel like they're inadequate, people that may not be have the capability of giving that much. You know, it can definitely ostracize them from feeling like they have some kind of say in the matters of the church and things like that, and their ideas that maybe they want to present. So, you know, it's definitely something that I think need to be discussed and need to be dealt with, you know, money and how people behave with it, and what, you know, how it gives people this false sense of authority and power in the church.
Well, definitely, yeah, definitely so. That's, like I mentioned, those that tuned in last week's show, I kind of touched on a little bit. I remember sitting in the church, you know. Well, they had a pretty much was a meeting, you know. And I guess we were just trying to raise money to, well, for something they were trying to raise it for. And it's just amazing to me, you know. We're just sitting there at the meeting. And I know one of the sisters, it was, separating these different auxiliaries and what's going to do this and that. And for some reason, I heard one of the sisters was just, you know, kind of taunting the men that were there. Now, having been said, you know, I know most churches, you know, there's not a lot of men, you know, there's more women than men in the church to begin with, in some cases. But this this particular meeting, she just, the pastor was explaining, what they're raising the money for, what he expected or whatever. And for some strange reason, the lady was said, kept saying, men, and kept looking over her shoulder. I'm like, what's she talking about? And I guess before I was part of that church, I guess when it came down to raising money, I guess the men fell kind of short. Now keep in mind, only just, you know, just a handful there, maybe, I'll probably say less than 10, not including the pastor, maybe 6 or so, and then maybe 3 you can count on. And I mean, she's just going off on the men, and might have been like 2 or 3 of us in the meeting. Don't just let them have it. Seeing how the men don't pretty much say how they slacking, how they don't raise no money, they don't do this, they don't do that. Just going on and on, being unchecked. But for some reason, I don't understand why the pastor even asked her to help the men out. The man, she, I kid you not, she flipped out. asking all the pastors, asked her, could she help the men out? And I sit back and think, I'm like, what? And I think about it now, I said, why would he even ask her? You're hearing her taunt the men, saying this and that about the men and how the men is slacking. And now all of a sudden, you know, the pastor asks her to help more, she just flip out. And you got to think, okay, what are you raising the money for then? From what I understand, all the money is going to the same cause. You know, you see the department slacking, maybe your experience, you know, don't tell me, hey, have y'all tried this? Have you tried this or that? But what you just created is competition.
Mm-hmm.
You created a division, even though that might not have been the pastor's intent. You just created a competition. You just created a robbery. And that's unfortunate. And I tell you, me personally, I just sit there and listen to him. Somebody act like that, me, I say, you just going about your business. I don't need nobody helping me personally. I don't need nobody helping me if you go complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go gripe and complain about it, you can keep your help. And I was thinking about telling the pastor at the time, you know, I just wanted to talk to him in private and say, hey, he said, man, could you just break up the men upon me? Ain't that men here, you know? And that's what I want to tell him, because, man, I'm sorry, but I don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
That's even personal. Like, I appreciate the help. I don't try to bother nobody, but, you know, if you will help me out and be griping and complaining at the same time, keep your help. I'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Like this song said, the Lord will make a way somehow. I'll make it without you, mm-hmm. but without your complaint.
I think that definitely, you know, when things are being done, you know, for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God, that people, I think the pastors need to make sure that the people that are helping advance, you know, whatever purpose or that the church may have, I think they need to make sure that people have the right spirit, you know, when they're doing things to help the church, because, you know, you can have people in the church that have their own agenda. And, you know, especially when you're talking about the different auxiliaries and departments. And, you know, I've seen it happen. And I know we'll touch on this a little bit later in the broadcast, you know, if we're able to get to it, how, you know, things like that can turn people away from the church. You know, when they go into a church and they see the competition and they see the cattiness, you know, to me, if we are the body of Christ, and if we are especially in the same ministry, then we should have love for one another, and there should be no division among us. And so if the goal is the same, then we ought to be pushing towards that goal and moving self out of the way. But unfortunately, a lot of times people are trying to build their own names and trying to build their own reputation. And maybe they're good at something. And I'm telling you, Brother Harold, that's one of the biggest things, mistakes that people make in the church, is realizing that they're good at something. Because mm-hmm. when people are good at something, God don't get glory. And when that's the case, people get to pushing their name out and, you know, developing their own reputation. And that's where you have a lot of schisms and divisions in the church, because people can be self-promoting. Even in raising money and doing things or whatever they're supposed to be doing to advance the kingdom of God, people can really be trying to advance themselves. And so me personally, I believe when I see those kind of people, I just sit them down and I try to make them learn the first lesson I learned in the ministry, which was humility. You go sit down and humble yourself. You know, you go sit down and watch your teammates play for a little while. And learn how to be humble that way, so that God can use you, you know, so that you're not holding the rest of us up and holding other people up in their spiritual growth, because they're busy watching you and how you're misbehaving. And so it's definitely something that has to be kept in check, you know, and unfortunately people And everybody that's serving God is not, that maybe they're not mature, and you know, and because they can be novices in certain areas, and in their walk with the Lord, they can definitely bring flesh into the business of God and into His ministry, and cause all kind of havoc and all kind of things to take place among believers, you know. And it's unfortunate, but people sit back and they watch these kind of things go on, and they just feel like, well, that's just everybody in the church, you know. But no, that's not everybody. I believe that I don't, you know, I believe humility is our key to being used by God and continuing to be used by God. And when people aren't humble, they just push themselves out in the forefront. And I'm telling you, that's a major setup for a disaster and things like that in the church. It's like you won't be able to get anything accomplished because they're too busy trying to promote themselves instead of advancing the kingdom of God.
Oh, yeah, that's you're right on the money on that. It's like you said, that will cause people to, you know, turn away from the church, period. You know, those that tune in to the Blended Family, the Blended Family program. I know I was talking to the ladies, like I said, the day before, and one thing she was telling me after she left that house, that she stayed away from the church for several years, mm-hmm. because of the way she seen her way up, where her stepmother was acting, you know, all that singing and shouting, and then on the way home, you know, he just bad mouthing them, calling them names, just mistreating them at home. And when she graduated, she was out of there. She had nothing to do with no church. But because of what she was seeing, what she was exposed to. But unfortunately, no, she no tried God for herself. And she tried my for herself, and she back on track. And you know, And that's the thing right there. I want to kind of touch on that a little bit. You know, that are, like I said, that cattiness and things of that nature that really cause people, you know, that you already got people saying now they don't want to be Christians. You already got people saying, you know, they're not for the organized church or whatever. Again, you know, they believe in God, they fear God, they believe Jesus, they believe His word, but there's just something about being called a Christian that kind of turns them off. And I just want to just encourage y'all, another thing you said about people being a novice. I know you said that a show or two back. I think we were talking about the Real Family Feud, you know. You know, people are no babes in certain areas, but what about the one that found Jesus back in 92? the one that found Jesus under President Carter's administration. Now, you think between now and then, there'd have been a mature. you found the Lord on a Thursday evening under the first George Bush. Now you ain't no novice now. You should be a little bit farther along than what you are. You shouldn't be running people off. Awesome. People ought to be running you. I'm gonna say this, and I just want to encourage y'all. Don't let what you see, how other people act, don't discourage you from serving the Lord. Now, those you might be following the show, I shared with y'all that dream when we had that show about unforgiveness. You know, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but you know, that one night I was thinking hard about that human resource manager and the coworker I had to deal with. You know, they were just the human resource manager. You know, I had a death in the family. You know, and I had to take care of some business. I got threatened with a write up and. You know, I had to deal with another coworker you know, just being a pain every day. But for some, but I was had that dream. At the time, I might have been a year removed from that job. You know, I fell asleep, you know, thinking about that stuff, and you know, the Lord showed me what He wanted to pour in me. But He said I can't feel it because you know, unforgiveness is there. Now sit back and think about that. You know, you know what wasn't mentioned? He didn't say nothing about that human resource manager. He didn't say one word about that coworker. He was showing me myself. I just say that to let y'all know we got to you know, stand where we got to give an account for. You know, we got to face God for ourselves. So we can't, you know, always, you know, blame this person and that person. So I just want to encourage you, you know, seek God for yourself. And you see how compassionate He really is. And I remember, you know, listening to a pastor some years ago, I guess before his sermon, he said, people stay away from church because of a few hypocrites there. And he also said, hell is full of hypocrites. So you might want to just, you know, you got to tough it out with the few hypocrites in the church. And he said, hey, hell is full of them. So I just know and encourage y'all, you know, if you can, just look over these catty people in the church and know, just you know, seek God for yourself. Because we got to, you know, stand before Him for ourselves. We can't mention nobody else. We got to stand, you know, stand before Him for our own self.
That's right. Yeah, I know. I was thinking about one of the things that I experienced when I was growing up in the church. I can remember how people used to have to, whenever they came to join the church, they would have to bring a letter of recommendation from their former pastor. So wherever they were, if they were moving their membership, they had to be recommended. And at the time, you know, being young, I didn't understand that. You know, I figured, well, I guess they know what they're doing, so this is the way they do things. But because I guess the idea was, if you're already a Christian, you have a history somewhere. You know, you've come out of somebody's church from somewhere. And so you had to have a letter of recommendation most of the time to join another by somebody else's ministry. And so I understand that now, you know, because I tell you, you know, this very thing, what we're talking about, how people behave in church, you know, and cause division, you know, with the different auxiliaries and things like that. A lot of times when pastors check those people and kind of get them back in their place, then all of a sudden they want to move their membership to another church, you know, and I, of course, I've seen that, you know, how people just move from church to church because every church they go to is the same old mess. And they're not knowing that they're the mess, you know. So, you know, I understand now this letter of recommendation that a lot of pastors were wanting, like, okay, so you've been saved, just like you said, since the Carter administration. I need to know a little bit about your history and what other churches you done tore up, you know. And so, you know, to me, it's a shame, but, I really think, you know, we really need to examine ourselves and one of my biggest things, you know, concerning church is motive. You know, what is your motive for doing what you're doing for God? You know, you can do all these things for God and all of that. You know, you can help establish a ministry in a local city and things like that. You know, but if your motive is wrong, then what good does it do you? You see? And so to me, I feel like if you're going to do anything for God, we need to move ourselves out of the way so that God can be glorified. You know, and it's unfortunate. Like I said, I've seen it happen how just people just full of themselves and really just full of themselves. And when they in church, they promote themselves and they causing division by doing that, you know. And I think pastors need to check that. I mean, I really believe that kind of thing need to be checked at the door because other people even that may be struggling with that kind of thing, they may look at that and think it's okay. Okay, so this is how we do it here. You know, we We spend all this time talking about ourselves, or we spend all this time promoting ourselves. And so I think it's up to the pastor and the leaders of the church to set the standard for what's going to go on, and, you know, and not deal with all of the misbehavior. You know, I've seen churches, how I've seen just like what we're talking about, rivalries and cliques, and I've seen how preachers just let it go on because they feel like, well, the Lord will do the separating, and the Lord. But I always say, well, you're the shepherd. You're supposed to know the difference between the sheep and the goats. And, you know, God didn't call shepherds to be goat herders, you know. And so we have to do our job and guard and protect the sheep. And it's unfortunate, but not everybody is in church for the right reason. Some people are just there because to them it's a social club. I grew up in church, you know, my especially, and God forbid, their parents helped to lay the, you know, help to start the church some kind of way, or the grandparents, you know, then sure enough, they think they have a right and, to some kind of authority in a church. And so, you know, I think all that need to be checked at the door. And I think shepherds need to do a better job of protecting the sheep. And one way we do that is by not allowing all of the extra foolishness, all of the cliques and all of the division. You know, the Bible tells us to let love be without dissimulation. That word dissimulation means hypocrisy. So it's telling us to love people without hypocrisy. That means if we're doing that, then it's impossible to have cliques. You know, you go over there and you hug your brother or your sister in Christ. You don't avoid, and I've seen that happen, you know, people walking down one aisle to avoid somebody else that's coming down another aisle. You know, it's funny, especially when you have people first coming into a ministry and into a church, they're observing all of that. They are, it's almost like the devil is going to point it out to them. And they're going to know all of these things that's going on. You know, you could think it's a secret, but, you know, people that are just coming in, they'll be able to observe all these cliques and things like that. And they'll know, okay, yeah, this ain't nothing but the world. This ain't nothing but high school all over again. And so I think it's important that, you know, to me, mix them up, make them play musical chairs or something. But don't let people get away with the cliques in church, because all it does is it puts a bad name on God and the ministry and what God is trying to do in that ministry.
Yeah, that's for sure. I've got to give you all that number. That number is 941-745-1490. 941-745-1490. If you'd like to get on the air, and email address is info@therossville.com. That's info@therossville.com. If you want to email us with your questions or concerns, you're more than welcome to email us at any time. Yeah, I'll tell you that folks really do be, and folks do be clicking on it, especially coming down that money. Like you said, you know, you don't raise X amount of money. You help, you don't want to help get the new church built. They can't nobody tell you nothing then. Mm-hmm. No, that you put up more money and don't let somebody who hasn't put in as much as you have say something. Oh my goodness, we have a problem there. Yeah. And you know, I know that some churches, you know, I see the people join. You know, sometimes I hear a pastor say you have just as much say as one that's been here for however many years. I mean that sounds good in theory. I mean, unless the pastor don't really know, but you know that's good. Let your new member know that they have much to say, but do they really? It could be put to the test.
Yeah.
And yeah, we go see something.
Yeah, I was thinking about a meeting that I was in several years ago when I was an assistant pastor at a church in Oklahoma. It was the biggest church in that particular town, and there was a meeting there with other pastors in the district. And I remember one of the younger pastors got up. He had been a pastor, I think, for a little bit less than a decade. And he was saying that I've been pastoring this church for several years. And he said, but I'm just now becoming the pastor. And he went on to explain how when the people elected him to be the pastor of the church, that it had all of these older people that were in there who wanted to basically run him and basically tell him how to be pastor. And, you know, and of course, it was the people with the money, with the people that had the most invested. You know, unfortunately, people treat God's church like it's a Fortune 500 company where you got all of these investors. And, you know, depending on how much stock you own in the church and how deep your family run in the church, you know, that we're going to tell you what to do. We elected you and we're going to tell you. And so that's what he was saying that he was dealing with. And I thought, you know, that is sad. That is sad that first of all, sheep think that they can elect a shepherd. Now, that's wrong all day long. We don't see that in the Bible anywhere. But then when the shepherd takes the church, you know, then the sheep try to tell the shepherd how to run the church. And then my question is, why have a shepherd? Apparently, y'all already got it all figured out. Just go ahead and, you know, just play some gospel music and read some scriptures and go home if that's all you want. You don't want nobody to help you and teach you how to grow in the Lord. You just want a figurehead. You want, you know, just like the children of Israel in the days of Samuel, you just want a king to say you got one. You want a shepherd to say you got one. You don't want to follow a shepherd. You just want to say that you have a shepherd. And so when you run into things like that, then what else can it do but go downhill? You know, it goes downhill from there, you know, when the people think they're in charge, you know.
Yeah, that's, you hit the nail on the head again. That's, you must have answered that. The number again, y'all, 941-745-1490. That's 941-745-1490. And the same goes, especially when a pastor, you know, pass away and a new one step in. Oh, they definitely have trouble on their hand.
Yeah.
That's the ones that, you know, the ones that's been there for the longest time. You know that. And in my opinion, I said I could be wrong, but you bucking up against a pastor now. You that's some serious business now. Mm-hmm. I'd be a little hesitant about that. Now you think you know more than the pastor, you might want to just get up and go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Man, don't need to be no. Not a man that he's there to look out for your soul, and you up there, you know, he tell you to go in this direction. You keep pulling because you've been there since '87. I say y'all got to, man. I don't know, but you got some bold people out there. I just can't. I mean, good gracious, man! If you can't respect the pastor. Again, you think you know more than them, just go somewhere else. Why are you sticking around for making this life more miserable?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got a task, you know, to try to look after your soul. No, make sure you look after his flock. You know, every time he put his foot down on something, you push him back. Well, what you there for? Like you said, they don't put too much money in to let it go. So they don't relinquish the power, no to the new pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, boy, y'all messing around with something now, y'all. Especially with true man of God, y'all pushing against something. I'm telling y'all, you might want to think twice about that.
Yeah.
Don't push it. Just leave.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but you know, just I think it's like what you said. I think a lot of people think that the church belongs to them, you know, and they think that they have a right to certain things that they don't have a right to, And to me, I think that's one of the biggest problems in the church. You can look on YouTube, and you can see all kind of people just bucking against the authority of the shepherd, locking them out of church and calling the police on them. And it's all kind of foolishness that goes on. And it's unfortunate that a lot of new converts, they have to witness the behavior, and here's the thing I want to encourage people, just like what you were just saying about, encouraging people to seek God for themselves. I want to encourage people and help them to understand that everything that say that they are Christian are not Christians. Everybody that's in church is not a Christian. Everybody is not converted. Everybody is not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly everybody that's in church is not there for the purpose of winning souls. Some people are there just to be there. Some people are there because that's just been their life, as far as being in a church, but that don't mean that they are the church. And I think that is important that people understand that, the Bible says, Jesus Christ told us when he was here that a tree is known by the fruit it bears. And to me, that tells the story of a person. If they're not acting like a believer, then they're not a believer. It's really that plain and simple. I don't care how long they've been a member of the church. That's another thing. We have a whole lot of members, but not a whole lot of people that's born again. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a big difference there. You can join a church, but were you born into it? You see, let's get born again first, and then we can worry about what church to attend. But until people become born again, they're going to behave, they're going to misbehave, they're going to do all these things, the works of the flesh, and with all of the competition and causing robberies and division. Brother Harold, I have seen some of the most ugliest activities I've seen in this world have come from people in the church. And I think it's unfortunate. It's just, I thank God that he lets me mature and let me be mature enough to not be discouraged by the foolishness. But I just think, these things have to be, it's the wheat and tares are going to grow together, and it's unfortunate. But I think people need to be taught on these things that, there are wheat and tares. My wife and I, we have a garden at our home, and in that garden, we have certain things planted, and then there are things in that garden that we did not plant, mm-hmm. But we don't blame. we don't get mad because all of these things are growing together. You see, we understand what we planted versus what we did. And it's unfortunate, but the weeds, that they're there to suck the life out of what we've planted, And that's the job of the enemy, is to take away from the things, the people that God have planted in the church. And I think it's important that newcomers, that people that have experienced church hurt, what they call church hurt, I think it's important that they not separate themselves from the body of Christ, but, try to grow to the place where you could be an example of what a real believer is, so that these weeds aren't just overtaking God's garden. You see that? And that's my sincere desire, is that, if you see some things in church that's not right, and this don't line up with the word, then you make sure that you do better. You see, you make sure that you be the example, and not thinking that you're better than anybody, but just be the example that the word of God calls you to be, and don't get offended at that, because that's what the devil wants. He wants people to turn their face away from God. He wants people to think, okay, so yeah, church ain't no better than what I see in the world. He wants people to believe that. But me personally, I look at God's remnant, what his true church is, and we're not talking about folks that's just going to a building. We're talking about people that's really and actually sold out to God. How are they behaving? Pay attention to that. Again, a tree is known by the fruit that it bears. If I see a tree bearing oranges, I don't get mad because it's not apples. If I go to you as a apple tree and I see oranges, then I know you're an orange tree. So I don't get mad at the farmer because he's got an orange tree in his apple orchard. I just think, this ain't the tree that I can eat from. I don't like oranges. So I'm going to go find me an apple tree. And I think we have to identify people by what's going on in their life concerning the word of God, and not allow people to turn us away from God. And to me, that's the whole plan of the enemy, is to cause people to get offended, at what they in the actions of others, and also, you know, and my thing is this: don't take it out on God. When you see something in church that's not right, don't take that out on God. You develop your relationship with God, but don't let people turn you away that's claiming to be something, if that makes any sense. You know, anybody can claim to be a believer. Anybody can claim to be a Christian. But so don't listen to what people say. Watch their actions. Pay attention to how they're behaving. If they're acting like a believer, then you know they're a believer. If they're not, then you know they're not. And it's really that simple. So don't get discouraged by the falseness, the falsehoods in church and the hypocrisies and things like that. I like what you said, that pastor said that hell is full of hypocrites. You know, in other words, people don't want to go to church because there may be hypocrites in there. But, you know, you turning your back on God, you're gonna be in hell that's full of hypocrites. You know, I like that example that you used earlier with that. You know, in other words, you be a believer. Don't take the shortcomings of others out on God.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I wanted to get on buying and selling, but maybe we'll come back to it. We got time. I want to also another thing that's dividing people too is this COVID. You got the vaccinated people and the unvaccinated people. I've heard people say before, you know, that's causing people to split. Now, I never thought much of it. I just kind of brushed it off. So I heard a small clip this morning of I think a pastor was talking about it. He was talking about, you know the division amongst people in the church or whatever, race or whatever. Too. And I don't know, I guess hearing them saying, you know, it, people making a big deal about you being vaccinated or unvaccinated, you know that's cause of division right there too, even amongst church people. And one thing that kills me, you know, actually it kills me, but one thing that gets me, okay, you may be one that says you don't want to be vaccinated, no, you one that says, you know, God got me covered. It's amazing. The believers say that's stupid. Well, God got you covered. You need to take this jail. God got you covered. They act like that's something so stupid. You have that kind of faith. You know, no, like I said, this COVID that's going around, this is something I take serious. I believe this is a serious thing. But for the ones that's not going to take this shot, you know, they've been attacked. You know, they've been called stupid. It's the sad part about it. You got pastors and believers saying that too. You know, what you mean? God got your back. You better get this shot. So that's kind of stunning to me. You know, you're attacking people's faith. Now, it's one thing to be in church, you know, every Sunday, whatever, whenever you meet. You know, no talking about faith in the Bible. That no, just preaching on this, preaching on that, and now's the time to put it to action, to put your faith to action. Now, just because you want to, be a little different and not take the vaccine, or you say that God got me covered. But boy, you strange. Something wrong with you. To actually believe that. And now I understand is that people from the world who don't know any better, but these, what's the bishop Moore? It was some bishop. He won't let you in his church. You can't go to his church unless you've been vaccinated. You know, and you got the people that's, you know, being vaccinated. You got people telling them, well, you got vaccinated, so you ain't got no faith. You don't believe. So even this COVID going around is causing a division inside the church, mask versus unmask. But it's just pretty stunning to me. You know, you got the kind of faith, you don't take this vaccine, you got the church people calling you stupid. Literally calling folks stupid for saying that God got me covered. What's wrong with believing that God got you covered? Who's the real believers out there? It seems like the people in the world got more faith than... Never mind. Yeah, don't go on.
You know, Brother Harold, you know, it's unfortunate to me personally. You know, I believe people really need to ask themselves if they believe the Bible or not. You know, this Bible, the Bible says that the things that were written aforetime was written for our learning. That means that we're supposed to learn from what we read. And, you know, this Bible is more than just an encouraging book. You know, and I understand to me about the miracles that took place back then. But I believe if we serve in the same God, then we should expect this, that God moved the same way. And I think about the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness and how the Bible says God sent serpents among them and those serpents were biting them. And that's the way I see this virus, you know, this COVID-19 is like a serpent. Some of them, if you think about it, it was killing thousands of those people, you know, and if you think about serpents just overtaking a whole camp of people of about 2 million people, what are you going to be tempted to do but fight? You're going to be tempted to kill serpents. But if you understand this one thing that God sent them, then you have to look to God for the solution. And so what was the solution to those people? He had Moses to put a serpent on a stick and raise it up in the air. Now, whether people know this or not, this, if you look at any hospital, when you see a hospital in your town, you're going to see the sign of that serpent on a stick. That's what they get that from what Moses did in the Old Testament. In other words, it's supposed to represent healing. Now, let's think about this. There are serpents among the people. They're biting the people. The people are dying by the droves. And what does Moses command the people to do? Look at this serpent on the stick and live. In other words, look at this. Look at what God has said before you and live. They had to have faith to do that. He didn't say, look up here and then fight the serpents. He didn't say, go get a shot after you get bit. He said, look to God, basically look to God and live. It was a prototype of Jesus Christ being made sin for us and hanging on the tree, you see. And so to us as believers, that's our sign and that's our example. We're supposed to look to God for our deliverance. We're supposed to look to him. Because listen, if there's one person in this world that got a shot, that got fully vaccinated and still died from COVID-19, that lets me know that it does not work. When it is your time to go, you're going to leave here. That's the bottom line. And I notice how people in the news, they always focus on, well, you know, yeah, they're not fully vaccinated and that's why they died. Well, if it's one person that died after being fully vaccinated, that lets you know you ain't nobody going to get by. You're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to believe God. You see, and me personally, if the Lord choose to take my life going that route, then that's his business. That's his business, you see. And so who can fight against the will of God? And so in my mind, I think we need to follow what the word says. I'm not against anybody taking a shot. That's your business. I don't put you down for taking the shot. But don't criticize those of us who have faith to look upon God for our life and to trust God for our life. Because the bottom line is you can't get away from it if God wants you to, if that's the way he wants you to go, ain't nothing you can do about it to begin with. And it's people all over the world proving that theory, that what's man-made, what, you know, the vaccinations and things like that, I think it gives people a false sense of hope. And, you know, and what it does, ultimately, it can turn people's faith towards man. The Bible tells us, woe to those that trust in flesh, make flesh their arm. In other words, trust in the strength of flesh. That's a dangerous thing. And again, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not telling people not to take the vaccine. I'm saying don't criticize and don't come against those of us who are believing God fully. You see that? And I believe that God is for people exercising their faith. And I look at that example in the Bible, what I was just speaking of, how God himself told the people, look up and live. Look up at this serpent on this stick and live. Look up on this serpent on this staff and live. And then, in other words, have faith in God and the provision that he has made. And I believe we as believers, we ought to do the same thing. Have faith in God. Because when it's all said and done, the doctor is a man, and he can't order God around. If God have allowed certain things, you know, and if God have allowed certain things to happen in this earth, all the vaccines in the world ain't gonna fix it. People need to repent. That's what's gonna help the situation. Turn from your sins and repent to God and quit thinking that you can live in sin and do all these things that come from the pits of hell and then take a vaccine to fix it. Turn from your wicked ways and repent to God, and then you'll have some faith. You know, then you can have the faith that it takes to believe in God. But you can't hardly believe in God when you're doing all this wickedness behind closed doors. And it's no wonder, you know, we're talking about division in the church, Brother Harold. It's no wonder church folks are pushing this vaccine. I guess you better have something else up your sleeve if you know you're doing all this wickedness and causing division and all this other foolishness in church. You know, you promoting yourself, you better go get that vaccine if you're not putting and keeping God in his place.
Like I said, it's just so stunning to me, you know. Well, I shouldn't be surprised, you know. But again, I sound like a broken record, but just a blatantly say, call somebody stupid because they say God has me covered. And then these supposed to be people that know the Bible in and out. So yes, I guess they believe just a part of the Bible, just what they want to believe. But yeah, we got just a few more minutes. We won't get on buying and selling. Is that all right for us to now we know that story when Jesus went to the temple, he turned over the tables. I guess they was selling doves. There were doves. I guess if they couldn't afford lambs, you know, they'd buy doves, you know. So if you can, you know, briefly cover that, are we people allowed to, or they need to raise money, or are they allowed to sell things, well, maybe outside the church, but not in, or how's that supposed to work?
Well, I don't believe in anybody buying and selling in the church. Right. I can only say, you know, how God have led me. If God have commissioned me to do something for his kingdom, I put that responsibility on him to finance it. You know, that's just me. I'm not, you know, I've never felt led to do bake pies or chicken dinners or fish plates or anything like that. I've never felt led to do that. And so that's me, you know, and I sincerely believe that if God have ordered me to do something for him and he has told me, I want you to build a church or do this or that, I sincerely believe that God is going to finance it, you know, and I don't believe, like in my ministry, we don't even take up an offering. You know, we don't walk around to put an offering in the plate. We just have a little bucket in the back. If people walk in, they can put their offering in there. So we don't even take time for all of that, you know. And so I try not to get into all of that raising money and things like that. I just tell people, you know, this is what the Lord have called us to do. And this is how the Lord is directing us. And I feel like if it's the Lord, then that money, you know, whatever it takes to do it, it'll come, you know, and I sincerely believe that. So that's my stance on it, that I've never felt led to do chicken dinners or fish plates or anything like that. I just trust God, you know. I believe God raises the money and he touches the hearts of people to give what he has ordered me to do in this ministry.
Yeah, I bet some people screaming at the radio right now. They're through their phone.
I hope not.
You know, you know, I know that go against what people normally do. And one last thing, you know what? You know, I never understood this either. You know, people get a tithe and offering in the church or whatever, and they keep a record of it, and then at the end of the year, they get a report, mm-hmm. get a tax write-off. That never sat well with me personally, y'all. That never sat well with me. You know, you get your tithe and offering, and you get your tax write-off at the end of the year. I don't know, something about that don't sit too well. I know some of y'all don't agree with that, but ain't nothing wrong with that donation. Hey, I'm just saying, you're giving it to the ministry or whatever, but I ain't trying to, I like to give back as much money as I can, but not that way.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, y'all.
Yeah. I agree with you, Brother Harold. I don't, you know, we don't do that either. If you giving to this money, giving ministry, money to this ministry, don't expect nothing in the mail from us. You know, we're not. Because to me, you know, I feel like this, if I'm giving to a ministry and I got to get something in the mail to go give to the IRS to show that I've given, then I have my reward. It's to me, it's to make that null and void. So, you know, the Bible tells us not to let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. So, you know, you don't give for the purpose of a tax write-off. To me, if that's your mindset, you might as well keep your money. You know, you got it all in your pocket already. So, yeah, I agree with you, Brother Harold. Let's check our hearts when we're doing things for the Lord.
All right, brother. Get out of here. We appreciate everybody for tuning in. If you're looking in on watching us on YouTube, you see the website to God's Truth and Deliverance Ministry at www.1truth.tv. You can see all kind of good sermons, all kind of good stuff on that site. I recommend you go and check it out. Pastor Bolden, again, I really appreciate you coming on. No, help me out here.
Thank you for having me.
I want to thank everybody else for tuning in to the Raw Spiel. And Lord bless you. See you next week. I think we'll be talking about the state of America. What's going on with this country here? He see me going down here. So Lord bless. We'll talk about that. And again, I thank y'all for tuning in to the Raw Spiel. God bless y'all. Have a good night.